Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that just as we sang, God, that's where this is all headed, God, that you want us to be with you by that glassy sea. Lord, that you want us to be your bride on that day. God, I pray right now that you would overshadow Bob and I and that you would come and teach all of us in this room. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, if I told you that there was a key, just like this little key right here, and it could unlock great relationships in your life, great friendships, great relationship with your spouse, great relationships with your coworkers, with your neighbors, even a great relationship with God. We're all pretty interested in the key right now. And if I told you that it could unlock even a joy inside your life, inside your heart, that couldn't be touched by your outside circumstances, then we're really excited. Ernie's nodding right over there. And we're wondering, you know, how much does it cost? Can I do payments? You know, like, how much is that key going to be? And I think for a lot of us, we would work really hard or pay a lot to have better relationships. But when I tell you what this key is, you might not be so eager to get it. So the key, so we're going to be talking about in the sermon today, to those better relationships is submission. That's a word we don't really like. Bob, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, it's one of those words that when we hear it, it sounds nice and biblical and it has some good meaning to it. But when we look at our own lives, we say, that's not for me. It's kind of like being told to eat your spinach. Your spinach will make you feel better. But who wants to eat spinach? You know, there are a few people out there that do, but I'd much rather have barbecue. I expect some of you might join in that, all right? And so submission comes across difficult to us, and we sometimes think that maybe the person who submits has the big L on his forehead and looks like the guy in the picture there. You know, weak, Casper milk toast, somebody who gives an easy pushover, somebody who's maybe easily harmed, somebody that's a victim, all of those terms come in here. And then, quite frankly, I don't know about you, I like to get my way. You know, I really like to, I can be really nice, but if you walk up the hall and ask my wife in the nursery, does Bob like to get his way? The answer is yes. And so submission and getting our way doesn't go together. So why don't you just take it a little further,
Jake? Yeah, so most of us would say, I don't want to submit because I want to get my way. And I don't want to be seen as weak or as a loser. And so I fight to get my way. And we like to say, like, it's because I'm strong that I try to get my way. But I think the big thing holding us back, most of us, from submitting to people around us isn't that we're so big and strong. It's actually the thing that holds us back from that key is that we're scared. We're afraid that if we submit, that no one will take care of us. If we submit, that we won't get what we need. If we submit to what other people want, they'll walk all over us. And that fear doesn't come out of nowhere. That fear comes from some real experiences that we've either seen other people have or that a lot of us have had. Bob, talk to us about sometimes how some guys maybe in the past have grown up and now they realize I'm not going to submit to anybody.
All righty. We have, thank God, a very male presence in our church. You know, that old story about, you know, churches for old women and children, you all have broken the mold, okay? And I'm thankful for that. Amen. I am thankful for big men. Robbie Davis and I were clowning around today. His son, Roman, is going to protect my grandson. Roman is twice. In fact, this shirt, Roman outgrew it and gave it to me, you know. All right? So we've got some big guys around here, and it's fun. One of the toughest things for a lot of our men is to be disrespected. And it's particularly difficult to be disrespected as a Christian because we're just not used to that. And so I have talked to guys who are in this conflict. They get disrespected, and they would like to do like this or a whole lot worse, okay? And because it's our nature. And yet, I had one guy who told me, but I can't do it because Jesus lives in me. And if I knock the guy into outer space, I have disrespected the one who loved me and saved me. Okay? But where does that come from? That comes from guys who've had hard lives who say, I'm going to get big enough and tough enough. Nobody's ever going to hurt me again. And so it's a real struggle for guys who have been brought up to say, I'm going to be tough because nobody will ever get to me like I was gotten to back when I was defenseless. All right? That's a hard thing to work through. And so submission comes hard. I mean, I talked about self-centeredness. Boy, I can vote for that. But there's another piece of that, and that is that there's a hurt that we've got to somehow work with when we become vulnerable. Submission makes us vulnerable. So why don't you address maybe what could happen in women's lives?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is all too common, too. We probably all care about somebody who's been either in a relationship like this with a boyfriend or with a husband, or maybe as a little girl, got yelled at just like that. We've all seen these tragic cases where a woman is submitting to somebody who is super selfish and incredibly cruel and even abusive, and we see that that's evil and wrong and messed up. And there's a fear that comes into a lot of people's lives where they think, I'm never going to let somebody walk all over me, so I'm not going to submit. And so again, there's this fear of, I don't want something bad to happen, so I'm not going to submit. But as we're talking about today, God's key to a good relationship is submission. So how are we supposed to work this out? We don't want everybody to just get walked all over and to get abused. But just like any key, you got to figure out where to put that key. If you take this key, it goes to the sound booth actually back there technically. But if I take the key and put it in the front door of the church, it's not going to do anything. If I walk to my car and try to turn on my car with this key, like, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to be stuck. And if you take submission and you put it in the wrong place, it's not going to lead you anywhere good. So some of us have taken submission and we've put it into the wrong place. Sometimes we were born into families where it wasn't a healthy environment. Or sometimes we've gotten into a destructive relationship where it's not healthy to be submissive to that person. So the key to having submission work well is to find the right door to put it in.
So if you can imagine a door right here, okay? And then imagine that Jesus is standing right there, and he is speaking, and he is saying, I am the door. By the way, in John chapter, I think it's 10, he said, I am the door for people like you and me. And as the door, he says, I am the door. I am protecting people. I mean, I just saw Big Mike come in after being baptized. If Big Mike was standing in the door and he said, you got to get through me to get to the preacher, I'd be a happy guy. Because they'd have to find a way to get through that door, all right? And Robbie and Big Mike were there. I got it made, all right? So Jesus says, far better than them, I am the door, and I'm going to protect you. But Jesus also says to us, I am the door to life. Okay, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. I'm the door to life. And so he is the perfect one to submit to. And as we submit to him, he will help us work through those very difficult places in our life where this word submission has been problematic for us, whether it's selfishness or whether it's some sort of abuse. He is the one who can help us there. So you're right to put the key in there. Why don't you talk to us about how it fits with marriage, Jake?
Yeah, so I think we're probably not surprised to come into church today and to hear that you're supposed to submit to God. That's not maybe a new idea. And maybe you can handle that, but the Bible pushes us to go a step further. You start submitting to God, and he pushes you to start submitting to the people around you, to stop fighting for your own way. And he actually tells us that a great reflection of a good relationship with him is a good marriage. And we're really excited today for Chris and Heather. They're getting married. And so when we look at a good marriage, we actually see that's what those worship songs are about. That's a picture of what God wants heaven to be like. This great marriage between humanity and God. And so when we look at a good marriage, we see a reflection of how God wants a relationship with us to work. But if you notice there, I said a good marriage, and when we look around society, it's really easy to find lots of marriages that are broken, that aren't good, that aren't healthy. And I don't think, in fact, I know that it's not a coincidence that there's a lot of broken marriages and that our society also has left that key of submission. We've taken it and thrown it away a long time back down the road. A long time ago, our society said, I want to get my way. I want to take care of myself. And so it's no surprise that down the road from that decision, relationships start breaking. And it's really hard in our society to find friendships that are really deep and that people really stick with each other for years and years and years, really carry each other's burdens. It's hard to find families that really enjoy each other's company and getting together without crazy blow-ups. It's hard to find marriages where people really take care of one another. So we've left submission, and then we find ourselves in this mess. So today we're going to be looking in Ephesians. It's going to talk to us about our relationship with Jesus, and then it's going to use the analogy of a good marriage. This is God's plan for how our marriage should work. So if you're here today and you're married, these are commands from God about this is your role. You can't control the other person, but God's saying, this is what I have for you to do. If you're here today and you're not married, though, we all have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And he's going to tell us, this is how I want the relationship to work. And it's going to have truth that'll work in friendships, that'll work with your neighbors, that'll work with coworkers. So we're going to read through some verses, and then Bob's going to start explaining it to us. So first verse is Ephesians 5:21. Here's our key. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this is a general command for everybody that's a Christian. It says, submit to people out of reverence for Christ. Then he goes on to talk specifically to wives. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So, Bob, that first verse, talk us through submitting out of reverence for Christ.
Yep. Most of our generation is taught, if you could just meet my needs, I would be happy. And the reason why I'm not happy is because you're not meeting my needs. And it dates all the way back prior to any sort of marriage or relationships. If my friends can just do what I want my friends to do for me, I'll be happy. If my friends don't do what I want them to do, I'm not happy. If my parents treat me well, I'm happy. If my parents don't treat me well, I'm unhappy. Okay? This passage says it's different. It is, what can I give? If I can give, then I am going to have the full life that God intends me to have. I'm going to cover that very quickly, but if you live it out, you will find out how good that is for you. You look around. Who are the people that are the most popular in your circle? The people that folks want to be around. They are the people who are generally the givers. They're the ones who are generous with their time, and they're the listeners, and they're the ones who don't demand their rights. That same thing goes over to couples, okay? So this is a general command both to husband and wife. It's also a command to friends, even business relationships, where, like, we work together. And that is the best way it will work is where we submit, where we yield, where we give over to one another. Okay, so Jake, why don't you take us a little further there?
Yeah, so the final verse that we read, it talks about why should we submit. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, why should I even submit to God? What's the reason that I should say, God, I'm going to give it to you, I'm going to do my life your way? And the reason it gives us in verse 23, it says, for he is the Savior. We think about why should we submit to Jesus. The reason for that is because Jesus saved us. If you think back to who you were before you ever met Jesus, and then the times in your life where you said, I'm going to do it God's way, think about what that did. Think about how God pulled you out of muck and mire and wanted to put you in a good spot. If you don't know the story today, it starts, like that song talked about, it starts with Jesus coming out of heaven to us to reach down and grab us out. And he was willing to die on a cross to pay a price for us. That he literally gave his own life to save you. And so why should you give your life to Jesus? It's because Jesus has given his life for you. So that's where the basis of this whole submission thing comes from. If you aren't willing to accept Jesus' gift to you, then you can't do the rest of what we're talking about. That's the foundation for all of it. So we're going to read another verse here. Here, Ephesians is going to talk to husbands. It says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So in this verse, it doesn't use the word submit towards husbands, but Bob, talk to us about that last line about giving himself up for her.
Right. Let's not just miss what we're trying to say. One of the fun things about tag team preaching is Jake can make a really good point, and I can say, hey, don't miss it. He just made a really good point. He talked about God's love for us, and we're so familiar with it. It's so much a part of our mindset that we just kind of, okay, yeah, I got that. Think about it for a moment. Jesus first submitted his life to the Father. There's never been, ever in all of history, a moment, a second, a fraction of a second, where Jesus was not in complete agreement with the Father. Never once. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always in agreement. In Jesus' earthly ministry, according to the Gospel of John, there are 48 times out of 21 chapters where Jesus says, basically, I submit my will to the Father. He always did it. He says the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing, and so on and so on. Jesus submitted to the Father. But not only did Jesus submit to the Father, who wouldn't submit to the Father? He's the greatest being there ever was. Why not follow him? Quite frankly, if the mayor called me up or the governor called me up or somebody like that and they said, Bob, would you do this for me? Well, sure, I'll do that for you if I can, you know. Well, why not do that for God, correct? But Jesus also, this is the crazy thing, Jesus also submitted himself to us. And so let's just take it fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said to the Father, not my will but yours be done. Submitted to the Father. But then what happened? The soldiers came in, and they bound his hands behind his back, the strongest being in all the universe. He bound his hands with just a little measly piece of rope. He could have called a legion of angels to come and rescue him. He didn't do it. He submitted. He went to 6 trials, 3 by religious authorities, 3 by civil authorities. He never once defended himself. He submitted to what was going on. And then they took him out to the cross, and he submitted to spikes being driven through his hands and his feet, to hanging on the cross for 6 long hours in the sun while his body was racked with absolute pain, and he took all the sin of all the world for us. He submitted. Dear ones, if that is the greatest being who's ever walked the face of our earth, should we not try to imitate him? Right? Amen. Should we not try to imitate him? And so he gives us the closest relationships that we have as a test. Husbands and wives, love each other like that. Submit to one another. Give yourselves over to each other. Test it out. And if, you know, lots of single people here today, and so we also can do that with our close friends. We can do it with our business associates. Jake and I were working on this sermon. At one point in the deal, I said, Jake, I submit to you. Well, we're talking about submission. Somebody's got to do it. And he submitted to me.
Yeah, and the sermon's about half as long today because I worked really hard on it, had all these good ideas I really liked, and then I showed it to Bob, and Bob was like, well, this and this and this and this.
That's right. So he submitted to me without saying it.
And I was like, you're right. You're so you guys can thank me. We're not here till 1. Or thank Bob.
Why do we relate together so well? And because we like each other. Because we're willing to submit to each other. So you start with your close relationships. You start with that, you know, if you're married, obviously that's the closest. If you've got a significant other in your life, that's close. If you've got friends, that's close. Try it out. I could preach till 1 o'clock on that, but yeah, we have a wedding okay. To do.
Yeah. So real quick, this verse, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. real quick, I do want to talk to the married couples here and just say, you know, these are big commands. Wives, do this. Husbands, do this. It doesn't say do this if you have a good spouse. It doesn't say do this if your spouse treats you the way you want or if your spouse made you breakfast today. It says, wives, if you follow Jesus, like, this is the way you're supposed to act. Husbands, if you follow Jesus, this is the way you're supposed to act. And the reason for doing it is because what God's done for you. You can't control your spouse. You can't control what they do. But you and God can work on who you are as a spouse. And the same goes for us with every relationship we have. We can't control what our friends do or our neighbors do or our coworkers do. But if we'll say, God, I want to do things your way, then that's all our responsibility is. Let God figure out all the rest of the details. So here it says, husbands, give yourselves up for your wives. Now, what does that mean? We're supposed to do it the same way Jesus did it for us. It's real easy to focus on the end of Jesus' life when he was beaten and tortured for our sake, and he died for us. And I think there's a lot of us in the room that are courageous people that if your friend was in trouble and you had to die to save your friend, I think a lot of people would do it in this room because we're that type of folks. I think there's a lot of spouses in here who would be willing to die for their spouse, or a lot of friends who would die for their friend. Honestly, I think there's fewer people, though, that would fully give themselves up, that would do exactly what Jesus did, which was to leave heaven, to leave where it was comfortable and lots of people liked him and there was good company and good food, and to come down to earth and to live as a peasant in the ancient world in an occupied country and to sleep on the dirt. To live that kind of life is a different type of submission, to give yourself up at that sort of level. So when I was reading this verse this week and I was thinking about it, and Bob actually told me, Jake, you need to come up with an analogy about yourself. You know, you and Christy have a good marriage. And I just thought, ooh, man, like I read this verse and I just think, like, I'm not living up to the mark that Jesus sets. But I started to think about what analogy can I use? Well, the best one I could come up with that I saw myself had to do with my dad, actually, and the way that he treated my mom. So my dad, his dad, my grandpa was a ran printing presses. So my dad got into printing and he liked it at first, I think. But by the time I was a little kid, printing had changed. You know, there's always bigger and bigger machines and fewer people running them. They got more and more stressful, and all the companies he worked at for a long time where he had seniority, they kept getting bought out, and he kept having to go to different jobs and different jobs. And so for more than a decade, from when I was a little kid up until I was probably driving, my dad was working these terrible printing jobs. He was really stressed. He was working at night. He'd have to get up on the weekends to hang out with our family. But he was always at dinner with our family. He was always at all my goofy soccer games or other stuff I was doing. He was providing for my mom and us kids, even though the people he worked with weren't very good people. I mean, he'd tell these stories, and it wasn't fun, I don't think, to be at work. I remember visiting him at work one day, and, like, the whole print area, like, it smelled terrible, to be honest, like all the chemicals. And I can remember he brought a lunch home one day, and I was digging through the refrigerator looking for some food, and I grabbed out a sandwich from his lunch that had been at his work all day. I took one bite, and it was like, oh, this is disgusting because it tastes like all those inks, like smell, because the whole place smelled so bad. When I think about it now as a man, to think about that my dad gave up more than a decade of like kind of his prime years to work a job that he hated. And that's not good. From the time I was a little kid, he was telling me, like, don't work nights, like, do other things so you don't have to work nights. But to think about that love, that he gave himself up for us, that he went to a place he didn't like with people he didn't like that smelled bad, you know, where the food was bad. He did all those things day in and day out, and he dealt with all that stress. So when we think about giving ourselves up for somebody else, that's what Jesus did for us. He didn't just come for 6 hours and treat us really well. He gave up a whole lot of himself, a whole lot of his comfort, to reach down and to pull us up. And I'm not saying that we all need to be victims and live horrible lives where we suffer, but imagine what kind of relationships you would have if day in and month out and year out, you put other people before yourself. So about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I was in my early 20s still. I was like 23 or 24. And I had a little bit of time between two jobs. I had about a month where I wasn't working. And I had a little bit of money saved up, and I was wanting to go on a trip. So I actually invited my dad to go camping with me up in South Dakota. So this is an actual picture of my dad and I up in South Dakota. And we camped out for 2 weeks. We just hung out the whole time. I can remember my dad talking to his friends about it, and people were kind of amazed by that. I mean, if you guys have adult children and they're in their 20s, most 24-year-olds don't, if they get 2 weeks and some money, they're not like, oh, I want to go camping with my dad. So why did I do that? Well, like, I really respect my dad. I really wanted to spend time with him. Like, how did that relationship happen? It happened because of all those years of waking up when he was really tired to go to my games and submitting himself in that way, it just made us have a great relationship. Like, it was easy for us to have a good relationship. If you could fast forward your life right now, and imagine if you submitted yourself to somebody else for the next 10 years, what kind of relationship would they have with you? I bet amazing things would be going on in your relationship. Now, remember, we first submit to God, and that's the only safe way to do it, because God's not going to lead you into an abusive, crazy relationship, okay? But the middle of the sermon, we talked about our society has left that key of submission. We left it long ago, and that's why we're in such a mess. A challenge for you today is for you to bend down and to pick up that key and to say, today, I'm going to start submitting. I'm going to submit to God, and I'm going to submit to some other people I'm close to. And it's going to be less about me and more about those other folks. So the worship team's coming up, our time of response. Decide today if you really want to do that. Do you really want this key? I mean, Bob and I fully believe that that will unlock better relationships in your life. But you have to decide, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to open up the door to it.
Yeah, I'd like to interrupt Jake for a second. Because he talked about his dad. And his dad did not work a big-time job. And there were a lot of things their family did not have. But they had a real dad and a real mom. And the payoff is Jake. He's a pastor. His brother's also a pastor. I don't know if you have any other brothers and sisters.
My sister's a teacher.
There you go. So that submitting has paid off in children and so on and so on. So it's really worth it. And today's a good day to get started in your life. You want me to pray real quick? All right. Let's go ahead and stand. Lord, thank you so much for your work with us. And thank you for your presence in our lives. Help us today, I pray, to pick up that key and to use it. Lord, it is worthy. Jake and I, our desire is today that we would get it as a congregation, that the best thing in the world we can do is to give to you all we've got, and then to give to people where we can. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.